Just a few days away until this year's celebration of all things literary, the Chattanooga Readers and Writers Fair. The event takes place on Saturday at the Chattanooga Public Library, presented by the Chattanooga Writers Guild. Mark Anderson and Sherry Poff are board members at the Guild, and they stop by our studio along with two authors, Ken Anderson, an attorney here in Chattanooga, and April Royer, a chemistry professor at Chattanooga State Community College. Mark, Sherry, Ken, April, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us about the fair.
We are here to tell you about the Chattanooga Readers and Writers Fair, which is Saturday, September 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the downtown Chattanooga City Library. This is a project of the Chattanooga Writers Guild that you can learn more about on our website, chattanoogawritersguild.org. The theme of our fair is, we call it a celebration of all things literary for and by the entire community. So we have put out a call a few months ago to all the writers to come forth and give us a sample of their work, and we've selected people from Chattanooga or nearby to show us what they've been writing. We have three main venues there at the downtown library. We have the auditorium where these pre-selected authors will be reading. We have a plaza out in the front where we will have open mics and some special entertainment out there. And the fourth floor, which is vendor tables and children's activities and some special presentations.
On the fourth floor, we have a variety up there. We have historical fiction, comic books, children's books, self-help authors, people who write middle grades and YA literature, memoir. Also, there will be people there offering services such as editing services, other kinds of programs in the area will have tables set up. So it should be really exciting. In addition to the vendors, we'll have children's activities, a lot of interactive elements for children and adults, things like flash fiction, some magnetic poetry activities, scavenger hunts. We're hoping that people will show up and spend a lot of time, walk around, talk to the vendors. Some of the scavenger hunts include things such as getting autographs from different writers, so it should be a lot of fun. And throughout the day, we'll have different presentations. So there will be a book discussion that I'll be leading. We've chosen an area writer and a book that's set in the Chattanooga area. Janie Dempsey Watts, and her book is Moon Over Taylor's Ridge. It's set in Ringgold area. It's a fun book. So we'll have two opportunities to come and discuss that book for people who've read it.
And you mentioned the plaza. There are going to be a number of readings taking place out there.
Right. We start at about 11 o'clock with music open mic, and then at noon we have this fun presentation by a local group called Rhyme and Chat. They do poetry and interactive. They have monthly meetings that make them a lot of fun. They have the stage at noon, then we do another poetry open mic, and then we have a anything goes open mic. Oh, and we also have some food carts across the street.
So people don't have to leave.
In the auditorium, we're going to start at 10 a.m. with a wonderful group. They're from Nashville. Is their headquarters. It's called A Novel Idea, and they do workshops with teens, writing with teens. It's kind of a summer camp. And their Chattanooga chapter is called Yay Words, is the name of that project. They're going to be presenting at about 10. Then we go on to children's literature and young adults. At noon, we have the winners from a contest that the Guild did in the spring. Then we do a fiction, hour of poetry, and then the creative nonfiction, 3 o'clock.
Just so many opportunities for people, whatever connection you have to books.
All things literary, whether you like to read, you like to write, or do both. And no matter how old you are, I think our children's activities do require a little bit of literacy. So kindergarten up. But one of our committee members has planned some really fun things for the children to do. So I'm excited.
I know who also is excited, the other guests who are here, because they are authors. Ken, tell me a little bit more about what you write.
I lived in Chattanooga in the 70s and got a chance to move out west, and I was in the oil business for a while, so I Most of my stories were about the American West. I was one of those kids who grew up with Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and Have Gun, Will Travel, which is my personal favorite. I think because he wore black and had a mustache. But I've started writing Western stories, and I had a story that in 2006 won the Tony Hillerman Award. I had the luxury of getting to know Tony before he passed away and getting to know his daughter, Ann, who are two of the major Southwestern fiction writers. And they've helped me a lot, and they introduced me to Craig Johnson, who wrote the Longmire series that the TV series is based on. He inspired me some also. So as my wife said, once you've published one story, you're addicted, and there's really no going back. So I'm a recovering writer. I'm right now working on a nonfiction book, my first nonfiction book, although I've written nonfiction for years. Being a lawyer, most of what you do is write. But this new nonfiction book is about the trial of Jesse James' older brother, Frank, which most people don't know, but they lived in Nashville, in the Nashville area for years. And Frank was actually tried in federal court down in Huntsville, Alabama, which is the town where I went to high school. So writing that story now, and that book will hopefully be out by the end of the year.
Any challenges for you in jumping from fiction to nonfiction?
Well, actually, I jump from nonfiction every day in my legal writing to fiction, or at least I would hope it was all nonfiction. The difference is you have to research nonfiction. You also have to research fiction, but nonfiction has to be researched meticulously, and you have to be able to footnote the things you say. So that's a challenge, and it's not, I don't think it has the same creative fun that nonfiction has.
It sounds like the researching for nonfiction has more in common with your day job than writing fiction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And April, how about you? Tell us more about what you write.
I write a series. So far, it's a series of two, and I'm just proud to say it's a series. It's young adult fantasy. I'm really proud to say that it's clean and wholesome, and I've had people enjoy it anywhere from advanced fifth grade readers that I know of to people far, far older than me. And within that series, I try really hard to make sure that I'm teaching really good ethics, even though it's magic and dragons and it's set in a world that's as akin to Camelot probably as anything else, pre-industrial. Everybody assumes that because I'm a chemistry professor that I write sci-fi, and I think that's funny because everything I do is, there is zero technology of that kind. But teaching the good ethics, I make sure that my role model is someone, well, I should say it, I try to make sure that my lead character, my main protagonist, is someone that my daughter and her friends can look up to, and it is a good role model for them. And in today's world, that means that she has a really strong heart, she's selfless, but she is not perfect. She makes mistakes, she learns from her mistakes, she has to learn that being completely selfless is not always the kindest thing to do, depending on what your responsibilities are. So her growing through that is something I'm proud of, that as kids read it and they grow up reading the series, she's going to get older, her responsibilities get much larger, the problems have more teeth to them, I guess you can say. But at this point, I'm pretty proud that having that good feedback from men, women, boys, girls, and them just falling in love with the characters and the world, and that's just, it's an amazing feeling. There's the satisfaction as a professor. And organic chemistry is, as my friend Ken said, is the gateway to get into a lot of professional programs. So a lot of students come into that, fight really hard, they succeed. I get to write letters of recommendation for them to go to pharmacy school and med school and PA school and so on. And that is a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. But then it is a completely different level of fulfillment when somebody comes to you and starts talking about the characters of your book as if they're their best friends and yelling at you because somebody died, or just really having been written, you know, pulled into the story and enjoyed it. That's just, it's amazing. So to use both parts of myself is, I don't know, I felt like I finally grew up.
What inspired you to become an author, and who influences you as an author?
I think I always wanted to be an author. I mean, I do remember, I mean, I loved reading to a point as a kid. I was the outside, ride anything, ride the horses, ride the motorcycle, go crazy outside kid, maybe because my mom's favorite thing was go outside. But I did read. I did enjoy it. I wrote. I enjoyed it. I had very tumultuous teenage years, one of those families where if a family loses a sibling, if you've ever been in that situation, you know what kind of turmoil that creates for how many years. And so during those years, I ended up grabbing hold. I had one teacher that really grabbed me, and he was a chemistry professor, and he saw my talent in that, and he grabbed me, and I stayed with that, and I stayed with science all the way through college and graduate school, had a baby, mom, married, you know, all the things. And it wasn't until life slowed down just a little bit after that, my child was in middle school. Sorry, I started to say undergraduate. She was in middle school, and I got hurt. I think that was the first time I blew an ACL or something, and I couldn't do anything, and I couldn't watch daytime TV anymore without killing somebody. So I just sat down with my laptop, and I said, okay, all these stories that are always running out of my head, let's see if I can get one down. And I started writing, and I'm really not kidding when I say I barely remember people coming in and out of the room. It was the living room. There was people. There was traffic. I don't hardly remember it, and I remember the sun coming up the next day and trying to figure out what the heck that was about. I wrote all night nonstop and fell in love with it. Read it aloud to my daughter and her friends. They loved it. They encouraged me to continue. And from there, it just became something I was doing for them and myself. But then many years later, getting pushed to publish, and I'm really proud that people did push me because I'm really glad to have it out.
You know, it kind of reminds me of J.K. Rowling's story.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. Yes, the whole wizarding thing and writing for your own children and creating a world that's completely fictional. That's what it reminds me of. So maybe you're the next.
That would be amazing. Biggest challenge is getting people to know about it.
And that's what makes the fair so important, because it enables people to get to know your work, April, your work, Ken, you know, Sherry, Mark, and so many others who will be turning out.
Correct. Both the writers who are with us will be reading in the auditorium, and their books will be for sale on the fourth floor. And what a great opportunity to buy a book and get it signed by the author.
And Sherry, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that reminds me, Ken and April, you each have a little reading to share with us right here.
Why don't you go first?
All right. I'll be reading from the second book in the Book of the Caretaker series titled One Magic. Would really help if you read book one, but here we go. Daniel, will you please try to stay alive long enough to meet the woman? Morgan shouted as she watched Alex save him from sliding into a deep crevasse. Her distressed brother ignored her, grabbed his torch, and took off down the dark tunnel at the same reckless pace. Wait, Morgan called as she lunged to grab him. She is dying. I have to save her, he said as guilt and fear moved through him. She is not alone, she said as she rushed forward to block his path and push calming magic with her words. There is a huge Leviathan tormenting her, and we still don't know her spirit or her intentions. She may be your mate, or she may be waiting to kill us all the instant we're close enough. We do this smart or not at all. He was breathing very hard, but nodded and fell into step behind her as they took off again. They ran hard for a few minutes more, then stopped as the tunnel opened to a massive black cavern. The men held their torches up, but their light was swallowed by the darkness well before it reached the bottom or far side. This is not a normal structure, Morgan said as she used her enhanced sight to study the cavern. There's a decaying spiral staircase around the edge, and the walls were shaped by tools. Where is she? Daniel pleaded as he felt along the edge to find the staircase. The bottom of the cavern is flooded with seawater, and below that is a massive portal. This must be where she arrived, but wait! Daniel had started down the stairs with a leap over the first broken section. The Leviathan is coming toward us. Daniel stopped and turned back as he heard the rushing water, then leapt back up the wall as the Leviathan came darting out of the darkness to slam its jaw shut just a few yards below him. He scrambled a few feet up, back up, and looked at Morgan. Please, just tell me where she is. I believe she is my mate, and I need to save her. She's in the tunnel that creature just came out of, directly across from me. You cannot reach... She stopped trying to explain as she watched her brother and husband exchange stern nods before both rushed down the steps. Alex started shouting and waving his torch as Daniel continued to descend. The effect of testosterone on the human mind is truly astounding, Morgan muttered as she watched them. The Leviathan had shifted its focus to Alec for a few seconds, then lunged towards Daniel. Its jaws slammed shut right beside him, and his body leapt back.
Well done. Thank you. Ken?
This excerpt is from my story called Going Back. Full title is Going Back to Where I Wanted to Be in the First Place. And it won the 2006 Hillerman Award and was first published in Cowboys and Indians magazine. And this is just the setup for it. Hero of our story has sold an advertising agency and bought a cattle ranch, and this is the start. And by the way, the town of Creosote, Oklahoma, which is featured in the story, does not exist. The bar at the Southern Plains Motel in Creosote, Oklahoma, was dim and better for it. Bright lights would have shown the toll time had taken since the last oil boom. Creosote was only 60 miles or so west of Norman, where Mike Andrews had grown up, but it seemed like it was a million miles away. Mike had come here to negotiate a deal on the ranch of his dreams. He spent the day with a local lawyer of some repute who represented the two Southern California heirs to the large cattle ranch left to them by their deceased uncle. They were more interested in a new Lexus in Palm Springs than ranch duties in Creosote. Mike had worked for 25 years since returning from the rice paddies of Vietnam with one dream, to own a real ranch. Now the time was at hand. The advertising business he started in Oklahoma City had spread to Dallas and beyond. The New York ad firm's check for $10 million for his share had cleared. So had his wife. Julie told him a few days after the closing what he already knew, that her love had died a long time ago, and she decided to be honest. The settlement was quick. He was still a very wealthy but lonely man. The ranch made it seem better. She had hated cows, horses, and mud. Mike had intended to acquire a whole lot of all three.
Very good. This fair is going to cover amateur, novice writers to well-published, expert writers, and we're so proud of all of them. Our youngest readers are teens, and our oldest reader is Mary Monroe, who is 98 years old. It is truly just a Here's Chattanooga kind of event. And if they want to learn more and get the schedule, it's crwfair.org.
All right, Mark, Sherry, Ken, and April, thank you, and all the best at the fair.
Thank you.
Thank you.